Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Bronco. With Lord Lattimore Volkner, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. You are listening to Something Something Broncos. I am Jess Place, joined by Lori Lattimore Volkman and Tim Lynch. This week, we are brought to you by Antonio Brown Fruit Leather. It might be his feet.
Or it's his helmet. You just don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no, seriously. Like that. Have you guys seen his feet? Like, it's been all over social media.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It was on Hard Knocks too. It's like in high def, it looks even worse.
So, yeah, if you're listening to the show and you haven't seen his feet, don't go look for it.
Well, it's like fruit leather, really, just like hanging off the end of his.
So what
that's
happened?
The best way.
Did the place he went to turn it up too high, or was he supposed to wear little covers on his feet and he didn't? I mean, how did that happen?
I don't know, but he basically lost the bottom 60 layers of his feet. It's pretty gross.
So. As the Mile High Report resident cryotherapy expert, I can tell you that I guess he was supposed to wear little footies when he was in his little Michael Jackson cryo chamber. And his feet were, he's like, it's burning. It burns. Because he just like frostbit the entire underside of his foot, which can't feel good. Like, that's
anybody who's lived in Colorado knows if you run barefoot through the snow, your feet start to burn after a while. I mean, I don't know if you guys have done that. I've done it.
I'd feel bad for him if he weren't a Raider. Before we get into wrapping up the Seahawks and moving forward with the awesome preseason schedule that the Denver Broncos have, let's go ahead and wrap up the Antonio Brown crazy saga. So the foot thing is one thing. That's why he left Raiders camp. And so he also is dealing with like a helmet issue. He had like his old Pittsburgh Steelers helmet, like the style of it. And they said, you can't wear it anymore because it failed testing for concussions and CTE and all that stuff. So that was, it was like outlawed. And so he was like super mad. And then he tried to sneak his old Pittsburgh Steelers helmet onto the field. He had it painted in Raiders silver and black and had a sticker put on it. Like, I mean, I'm sure, this is not something that he did himself. I'm sure he had someone do this for him. He doesn't seem like he's at, like in the backyard with like a rattle can. So he tried to sneak it onto the practice field and they were like, whoa, 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 time out. That's not, what are you
doing?
How
did they notice? I'm kind of surprised.
I'm sure he didn't take the Steelers logo off the other side. So they probably saw like
the paint was still drying. So it started to drip during it was hot outside.
Yeah. The line, he didn't pay the extra $3 for the good masking tape. And so like the lines weren't totally true. And I'm sure it looked like crap. Like I want to see a picture of this helmet that he tried to sneak on. Like, they're going to notice.
Have that on Hard Knocks?
No, they didn't have it. Like I really wish they were like, here's this like piece of crap imposter helmet he tried to sneak out here. And then he got mad that they took his helmet away and they're like, what are you doing? Like, this is kind of borderline crazy weird. Why are you doing this? So, Antonio Brown, in addition to having left camp for his feet, may have also left camp because he filed a grievance with the league. And the league said, sorry, you have to wear a helmet that won't cause you brain damage.
Because we don't want you to sue us later.
Yeah, so he went on social media and was like, I fully accept the arbitrator's decision, even though I'm very unhappy. And yeah, it didn't look as though it was something that he probably wrote himself. But, you know, it said all the right things and case closed. Okay, so the Antonio Brown craziness is pretty much over, right, Tim? There's nothing left out there for Antonio Brown and the Raiders. He should be back.
Actually, yes. He is being sued by the sports chef out of Florida for $40,000 for a Pro Bowl festivities from 2018. This is crazy. So the Pro Bowl was in Orlando that year, and he hosted a culinary show and other services for nearly 50 Pro Bowl teammates and many other party guests. And then when it was over, Brown terminated the agreement and did not allow this chef to retrieve his equipment or food from the premises. And so, yeah, like a year and a half ago, he had this big old huge Pro Bowl bash with 100 people, spent $40,000. And then when it was over, said, yeah, I'm not going to pay you. And no, you can't have your stuff back.
I'm keeping your skillets.
And the, I mean, that's the crazy,
tongs,
right?
I love the tongs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Who does that? Like, so that's normal. That's totally normal. Yeah.
It is going to be fun to watch him implode, isn't it?
I mean,
it's already happening. Like, this is the Antonio Brown implosion that we were all really hoping for.
Even earlier than expected.
He hasn't even played yet, and he's already freezing his feet off.
And finding like meaningless crap to get all irritated over, like my like the helmet, like just grab one off the rack, dude. I mean, as a Broncos fan, I love it. Like, yes, but you know, have you seen your shoulder pads? I mean, lame. Like, you can't be seen in those. You need to take a stand. So anyway, let's talk about the Denver Broncos at Seattle Seahawks game.
If you look at the Seattle game, you have to look at the first drive if you want to kind of talk about what this team is going to be. And maybe the whole first half, because you have backups in there who are likely to play this year. And I think Broncos fans should be encouraged. First of all, Flack looked pretty good.
First team, everything. The issue this year is going to be if people start getting hurt, we're going to start
being nervous. That was kind of true last year, too. And that did happen. We got hurt and... Lots of starters were out.
Except the one that just finished every game as our starting quarterback, like a soldier. he's a beast.
But seriously, well, I don't think the Seahawks game should be any kind of downer for Broncos fans. If they want to be mad about Paxton, you know, whatever. Go I'm waste your time Paxton. On that. That's fine.
It's not Kyle Sloter or anything.
That's right. It's not. But it's Paxton Lynch against third stringers. Big deal.
He dabbed on us, though. That's just wrong.
John Elway dabbed on his face when he cut it. Take that, Paxton. You suck.
Don't cry in my office. You cry outside. Yeah. You're not on the team no more. Go cry in the parking lot.
He just like wings a box of Kleenex at his head. Like, take that outside. Take that S to Seattle.
I'm personally more interested in this next game and the game after that, because those two games are the ones that you really see enough of the starters to kind of start seeing what kind of team you got. So the 49ers game with the joint practices, I'm sure we'll hear about some fist fighting going on tomorrow, the next day or whatever, because that seems to always happen when they have when there's joint practices. And then it's a little chippy during the game. It'll be nice to see. I'm ready for the regular season. This last month is going to drag for me.
You know what could be cool out of this game is on Wednesday, Jimmy Garoppolo threw 5 interceptions in practice. I believe a lot of them were in succession. And
it was
so
5 in a row.
It was 5 in a row.
It was 5 in a row. Okay.
But then he threw a touchdown to Jalen Hurd. So. We should probably be a little wary of that.
Yeah. So if our secondary really applies themselves, they can completely destroy Jimmy Garoppolo's confidence, maybe for the whole year. If they really apply them, I mean, 5 from the 49ers secondary, I'd like to see 6 consecutive interceptions from the Broncos secondary. It would be great to rattle some confidence in someone else other than our own quarterbacks.
Considering our track record of predicting interceptions from opposing quarterbacks.
You guys better be quiet.
I'm going to say, you know, we're going to throw 6 interceptions and it's just going to be a horrible thing for the Broncos?
I don't know what you're talking about, Tim. We don't make predictions like that. That never happened.
Yeah, who's ever heard of that?
There may have been a podcast that never aired that may have preceded.
There's still a tape. There's still this a one. Tape.
And then maybe we got a little ahead of ourselves in the Paxton Lynch hate department, but we're not going to let that happen again. However, I do want to see a Jimmy Garoppolo cry like Paxton Lynch. Anything else out of this game that we should touch on?
I'm excited. I read Jeff's post how the Broncos might utilize Philip Lindsay and Theo Riddick in the passing game. And he used a lot of the concepts that the 49ers implement under Kyle Shanahan, since that's where Rich Scangarello comes from. The thing that drove me mad last year was Philip Lindsay is so good in space, and I can't tell you how many plays were called where the play call was to give it to Lindsay to run into the butt of Matt Paradis or whoever was the center and then hope that, you know, he finds a yard. I don't know what the goal was. I just want to see Philip Lindsay in space at least 5 or 6 times a game. He just makes people miss. He's so quick and he's so agile when it comes to dodging tacklers. I just want to see more of that. And reading that post from Jeff, seeing the breakdown of the plays that the 49ers use, they kind of got me excited to see some of that.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, everyone does vanilla offense and defense during preseason, but you can already see the misdirection that they're trying with the offense and all of the change up with the defense. So you know this is going to be different. They are not going to be telegraphing their plays to the other team like we did all year last year.
Well, already, I mean, just in the preseason, we're seeing more of that kind of moving pocket, the bootleg kind of, you know, like prototypical Shanahan Broncos offense, just in the vanilla offense.
Exactly.
It's already... I mean, like just to kind of tee off on what you were saying, it's already more exciting than what we saw last year offensively.
There's already like chocolate sprinkles on our vanilla right now.
Right. Yes, exactly. Well, and the moment that we start seeing some of those naked bootlegs, like all of Broncos country is just going to swoon, and like, you know, the ghost of Jake Plummer will shimmer before us and bless all of Broncos country. So yeah. It'll be good.
I was just literally just thinking about that show we did where you were just going on and on about the naked bootleg. I think it was Case Keenum ran one and threw a touchdown pass, and you were just, the whole show was just you talking about the naked bootleg.
It was totally naked. Well, okay, so what else about the 49ers game? I mean, so, okay, we were talking about the running backs. I mean, Royce Freeman is a lock. Philip Lindsay is a lock. We're starting to get to the dare I say, to quote my cousin Vinny, we're getting down to the lick log on Khalif Muhammad.
Kalfani.
Let me make sure. Are you sure?
Yes.
Kalfani, you are correct. Circle gets a square. No.
Awesome.
Yes. So, Kalfani Muhammad, we've seen a little bit out of him. We haven't seen a lot.
First game, he really was on fire, but then last week he kind of disappeared. So he's one of those guys that's really fighting, because now that Theo Riddick is hurt and out 6 to 8 weeks, the Broncos have some decisions to make. We're probably keeping Booker. Kalfani Muhammad and Devontae Jackson are going to really be duking it out, I think, that maybe not with each other, but just really fighting for a spot, because they're going to have to separate themselves if they're going to be able to make the squad.
And Vic Fangio kind of alluded to that after the Seahawks game, that some of the guys that had a good outing in that first Hall of Fame game kind of hit a wall in the second game. It's amazing how honest Fangio is, because most coaches would just like, oh yeah, everybody's doing great.
It's kind of like he wants to make sure players never get too ahead of themselves in how good they are.
Which is good, because it keeps them accountable, which is like totally absolutely what we're missing last year. I mean, it's so subtle. It's awesome. Like
they don't have t-shirts, though. I don't know why. Last year we had accountability t-shirts, and it was a big deal. No matter if you're how good you are, you can always get better. So it's like even Von Miller just... You know, you're Hall of Fame great, but you can always get better. And I think he's really good at just nudging guys in that direction.
In person with the players and with the team, he's very complimentary, you know, when they do well. And he's also, when they don't do well, he's very honest. But then it's about teaching them. It's not about cutting them down. So they they feel like, you know, this coach is really about trying to help us be better football players.
And I'm hoping it pays off. I'm really hoping the Broncos surprise the league and we get things turned around. It needs to be a destination city again for free agents. And that's not going to happen if free agents don't think they're going to win any games.
He's doing all the right things. I think I'm so impressed. Every day I have a new favorite quote from him, a new favorite thing he does. I love it.
The way he handles himself, I think, is also why he probably hasn't gotten a head coaching gig until now. Even though he's been a great coach for so long, that kind of persona, the person hiring you better be pretty freaking confident in themselves, because that kind of thing could rub the wrong way if you're feeling like, I've got to keep this guy in line. You know, a credit to Elway. It's awesome and it's honest and it's great coaching, but at the same time, it might rub people the wrong way on the administrative side of things.
I think Elway was tired of babysitting the last 2 years.
That's
good.
What do you probably wanted? I just need a guy who's going
to come in and take control. But like you're saying, I think Elway's very confident in the direction that Fangio is going. And so he's fine letting Fangio do that and do his own thing.
Yeah, and Elway's learning too. Every year he's learning as well. And, you know, I think he wanted to be more involved, say, 2 years ago. The thing about Elway is he's great about learning from his own mistakes and trying to work better and get better and make better decisions. And, you know, that was just, he doesn't want to babysit anymore. I think you're right. I think he's happy to have somebody that's actually, he can just run the football, run the field. I'll run the front office. I don't want to deal with both.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to micromanage both. I like the way the direction is going with the team. I'm just, I've got that preseason anxiety after a losing season, you know. I don't know how it's going to turn out.
No matter what, we have a coach who's in control. So you at least feel like he will get them back on track, whether it's halftime or on the sideline or during the week. It will not spiral out of control like it did the last 2 years.
Yeah, it really did last year. You know, you never want a situation where a head coach is making decisions on how to save my job, because you never see that work out.
Right. And
it didn't work out. So
it was like throwing spaghetti at the wall. Like, let's just see what's going to work this time.
But that implies that he was changing what he was doing. Like, people were just screwing up left and right. And he's just like, well, you know, that's the guy. He's a professional and it's his job to execute. And he didn't execute, but we're going to keep going with it, even if it doesn't, like Booker, we're gonna go for that 3 yard loss on second down every time, every damn time. Set it up third and long. Like it was so mind-bogglingly frustrating. It's refreshing to see Fangio come in. I hate to say what everyone else says, but it's a no-nonsense, like stick to football kind of guy. But like, I think it's going to translate over to the games. I think we're going to, like, if you don't perform, you're not going to be on the field. Like, it's kind of, dare I say, a return to that Mike Shanahan. If you play well, you'll be on the field. If you're not, if you suck, you're gone. Like, you know, you can't play. Like,
which is amazing that we'd have to get back to that. Like, that should always be the way it is.
Yeah, it's just like people were rancid and they're just like, there's like no correction, no effort to send any sort of message to anybody else. It was just like, you can be terrible and your job is safe.
Yeah.
You won it in training camp. You will keep it all year long
through week 15. let's keep this, because I was retained in the name of consistency, not because of talent. So let's keep it consistent. We're going to be consistently terrible.
So 49ers game coming up.
All right, score predictions. Tim, what do you got? after Jimmy Garoppolo throws those 6 interceptions.
Yeah, 35-7.
You guys are so bold. 24-20. That's mine.
3-7.
Wait, who wins your guys' game?
Yeah, well, Broncos always. I always pick the Broncos to win.
3-7, Tim. It's a tie. No, 3-7. I say Broncos win.
So, no 44-0 this week, Tim.
I don't know what you're talking about. That podcast is gone. It was never published. It's it's like those lost episodes of Laverne and Shirley that you hear about.
It's a home game, so the Broncos don't lose at home.
They're gonna be 30,000 people in that stadium screaming and yelling for the Denver Broncos. 40% capacity.
It's a Monday Night Football game.
So my parents will be at the game. I have tickets with my parents. The tickets are in my name, and so when they want to go to the games, I have to send them the tickets. It used to be I would just put them in an envelope. I had fun paper clips that I was really excited to use. You tell your mother to knock it off, Lori. Mom,
it's recording on the podcast. You have to turn that off.
She tell her to play Candy Crush in the pantry.
I don't even know, she's rocking out over here while she's playing solitaire. Bonnie Lattimore.
Oh no. Bonnie. My Bonnie lies over the ocean.
She loves that song.
There you go. There you go. She lies over the sea. Bring back my Bonnie. See, I started it. Now I have to sing the whole song.
That's right.
You can't just start it.
No, it's not a song you can do that with.
So I was talking about how frustrated I am trying to get my parents the tickets through their new mobile ticketing thing. My parents are a little older, but they're very tech savvy. And so I send them the link. And my dad is like, I need your password and your login information for Ticketmaster. I'm like, no, that's mine. You need yours. He's like, I don't have one. And I'm like, no, you do. We did this last year. You just need, he's like, I don't know what. And then later he's like, well, I think it's your password. What's your password? And I'm like, it's not my password. And he's like, hold on, let me, And so he like logs in and like he changes his password. And then I'm on the phone with him. And of course I'm doing like a dozen different things at the time. And he's like, okay, now it's saying account manager, tickets, season tickets, like what do I click? I'm like, you should just have the tickets there. And so I'm going through this whole thing. And then finally he's like, okay, I think I found them. And so he's like, I got one ticket added to my wallet on my phone. How do I add the other ticket? And I'm like, I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know. Like it's there. And he's like, well, why is there lines through the barcode? There's a barcode, but there's lines through them. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's radio. He says, hold it close to the reader and it'll beep. And I'm like, then that's it. You have both tickets? Like, I don't know. And I'm like, I think you got them. Like I spent an hour on this last night. It's like, I used to just put them in an envelope with fun paper clips and be like, enjoy the game. And like, there they go. And now it's like, holy God, I got a multiple password resets, Apple wallet. Like he wants my password, his password. We don't know what the hell's going on. So hopefully
it'll be a miracle if your dad makes it to the game.
If you see Brad and Penny there, give them a high five. They ran the gauntlet. They survived. They're at the game. Give them a high five.
I think it should be a fun game because hopefully we have a couple of tight ends and
a couple tight ends left. I mean, we could probably injure a few more. I mean,
like that's right. What are we down to? We started with 8. We got 4.
I have the depth chart as it appeared at the Hall of Fame game. Jeff Harriman, healthy. There you go. That's different. Noah Fant, healthy. Troy Vimagali, also healthy.
And that's where it ends.
Jake Butt. He's practicing. I bet we'll see a little Jake Butt at this game. Yeah. If he doesn't get injured between now and then. Austin Fort. Oh, and Bug Howard, also injured.
We do have 4, kind of 3.5, because I'm sure Jake Butt won't do too much.
He just came back to practice.
Yeah. And Morrell Stevens. Morrell Stevens is also in the mix.
Yeah. He's actually been doing well with the second and third string. So, might put him on the practice squad.
I like the name Morrell Stevens. Like, That's like a upstanding young man. Like, I want him to date my daughter.
Just because his name says so.
Meet Moral. You can't, like, who would be a bad person with a name like Moral?
But then he says, I'm Moral. It's like immoral, right? When he introduces himself, hi, I'm Moral. No?
Me too. That would be my response. That's when I nonchalantly like drop a dollar on the ground and just like see if he like returns it to me.
He's probably like, come on, I've been doing this one my like, whole life.
My name is Moral. Okay, here come the jokes. Okay. Yeah. All right, so let's put a button on this. So we all have the Broncos winning, as always. I have 6 interceptions in a row for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll go on record with that because I am so certain it's going to happen. To recap, we learned how to say Khalfani Muhammad, and Moral Stevens is awesome. So, all right, mystery question time. Here's the question. Tim, I have a feeling you will know this, so I'm going to ask Lori. Can you name, as of this date, what the original AFL teams were, all 8 of them? There were 8 of them. Can you name all 8?
Oh my goodness, I don't think I can name 2.
This is a trick question.
With the correct with the correct city.
Oh, okay. Well, you can do the correct. All right, help her out. Give her 3. Give her
3.
Bob Housen founded us. He started his little upstart Pacific League baseball team, the Denver Bears, and he had a stadium and he's like, "I want a football team," and tried to buy the Chicago Cardinals, and the Chicago Cardinals were like, no. The NFL was like, no. It's not going to happen because the Chicago Bears were too close to the Rocky Mountain region. And George Halas said, no, not any competition for my Chicago Bears. So the AFL was founded. There were 8 original teams on this date.
All right.
Can you name
on this date?
On this date.
Ooh, so I'm getting them wrong.
Denver Broncos.
Yes, 1.
Raiders?
Raiders. No, not the Raiders.
Los Angeles Chargers?
Los Angeles Chargers.
Kansas City or Dallas Texans?
Dallas Texans, yes.
Ooh, sorry, I almost screwed that up.
It was the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's what I said.
Oh, is that what you said? All right. Sorry, I was caught off guard by Lori going to Oakland right away.
I'll give you Boston Patriots.
Boston Patriots. And then New York, they had 2 teams.
Titans.
Buffalo Bills.
Yep. The Titans, the Buffalo Bills.
New York Titans, New York Jets.
Houston. Well, yeah. Houston Jets, Oilers.
The Houston Oilers. And then there was 1 other team. I will give you a hint. They were poached by the NFL. And it was because they were poached by the NFL that the Oakland Raiders became a team. In 1960. This team that I'm thinking of and the Dallas Cowboys joined as expansion teams in the NFL.
It's the other team that joined with the Cowboys. I used to know this. Hold on. No. Don't ruin it yet.
They are a current NFL team, so that should narrow it down.
Which ones haven't we named yet?
Here's some more tips. They have never won a Super Bowl.
Really want to get this without having you have to tell us.
I want you like to
I'm
do
determined.
It.
I'm determined to figure this one out.
Your email address used to be MHR History. Here's another hint. Okay, so they joined the NFL, and so when the merger happened, they remained in the NFC.
Let's see. You got the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Vikings?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Thank you. As soon as I started saying, I was like, wait, the Vikings.
The Vikings were supposed to be, I don't know if they would have been the Vikings, but the Minnesota franchise was supposed to be in the AFL with the Denver Broncos and the Boston Patriots and Houston Oilers and all those guys. However, the NFL swooped in, was like, hey, we're going to try to thwart this league. We're going to grant a franchise in Lamar Hunt's backyard. Granted the Dallas Cowboys to compete with his Dallas Texans, who later became the Kansas City Chiefs, and granted a franchise to Minnesota. And so the AFL was left scrambling, and they're like, what other city could we grant this franchise to the Oakland Raiders ended up being them. And I believe they didn't win any games their first season because they were so hastily assembled from like other teams' trash, basically. So so there you go. It's either they won one game or no games. So there you
go. I'm not going to talk because the 60s are not something to brag about if you're a Broncos fan.
Well, we had the drop on the Raiders. We had a team. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you for listening to Something Something Broncos. I am Jess Place with Tim Lynch and Lori Latimore Volkman. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts. Be sure to like, subscribe, and comment on our little page, because you know we care what you guys think. If you hate us, tell us. If you hate Tim, tell him. You can reach us at milehighreport.com. We are all contributors there. It's awesome. Go Broncos.
Woo-hoo. Yay!
That's it. Thank you.
Whenever we do that, Jess and I always cheer, and Tim is totally silent.
Tim's like, I'm out. Fuck
I'm
it.
Just like,
fuck you people.
I just refer them to MHR history for all complaints and hate. That's...
A correction on the reporting of the foul. Both teams were on the both up. Both fouls were on the kicking team.
It's good to see you guys. I gotta be honest. I've been exhausted the last 3 weeks. So like all of a sudden I'm like, I'm here. I'm awake. Like this is gonna be fun. We're gonna have fun. This is gonna be good. So wait, and you gotta introduce your mom to Tim.
There's Tim.
Hello.
And don't think the fact that she's drinking out of a Broncos glass is lost on me. I saw it.
Oh, instant saw approval. Glass.
Instant yep. approval. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instant approval.
Now I got a good microphone. I can hear every little like chirp and thing. And all right, now that the window's closed, I got to go turn on the air conditioner.
Jess was probably totally naked while he was talking about it too.
Oh, it was amazing. Wait a minute. You were going to go play pickleball?
Oh, yeah.
Are you in a second grade gym class?
Hey.
Have you played this game? It's great.
I only learned about pickleball like 2 years ago.
I only learned about it a year ago. It's super
like every year in elementary school at Heritage Elementary in beautiful Centennial. I guess they call it Centennial now. Then it was Inglewood, Colorado. We would play that in Mr. Anderson's gym class. And it was like, pickleball again. And, you know, you've been listening to Something Something Broncos, a feature of MileHighReport.com with Lori Latimore Volk, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch. Get involved in the conversation at MileHighReport.com.